Hello everyone, and good evening. Welcome to Audio Production Horror Stories. I'm Adam Prutzok, and tonight we'll be taking a break from my mini-series, Slappy and the Dead Girl, and I'll be doing a reading from a story I wrote and submitted to the Austin Film Festival for their yearly screenwriting competition. This story is about a young man named James. James lives a quiet life and holds a small job as a janitor at his local shopping mall, when one day he makes a disgusting and deadly mistake that causes a domino effect that ruins his life and ends in bloodshed. I don't know if he can recover after this one or his victims, so please enjoy James Lewis, a story about a metapsychotic. An overweight, red-headed, mentally ill individual is lying in his bed in a messy bedroom. An old-school analog alarm clock wakes him up at 8 a.m. He looks like he has not showered in months. His face is covered with acne and pockmarks, and he has sporadic facial hair. Lying next to him in his bed is what appears to be a prostitute. She is still sound asleep. He then wakes up and sits on the edge of his bed and reaches down for a wrinkled black t-shirt and puts it on. He attempts to wake her and puts his hand on her shoulder and lightly shakes her, trying to wake her up.
Hey, wake up. I have to go to work.
Nothing.
All right, but you better be gone by the time I get back. I can't afford you for another day.
He stands up, pulls out his wallet, and leaves her $40 on his nightstand. James is standing in his tiny kitchen making himself an off-brand Pop-Tart, and a fatty piece of bacon is in his dirty microwave. His flip phone starts to ring.
Yes, can I speak to Mr. Lewis?
This is me.
Hi, Mr. Lewis. I'm calling to follow up on your application for food stamps and medical.
James grunts. He is still concentrating on his breakfast.
I'm going to need a list of things to further your application. I'm going to need you to get the following items. Proof of residency, a current utility bill, electric or water bill will work. Also, I will need an original copy of your birth certificate. And are you employed right now, Mr. James?
Yes.
And where are you employed?
I'm a janitor at the mall.
I will also need two copies of your most recent pay stubs. You can send those to me through email, or you can bring them here in person, or through the U.S. Postal Service. Also, if you need to get a hold of me, my extension is 757. Do you have any questions for me?
No.
And just so you know, you have 10 working days to get these documents, otherwise you will have to apply again. Thank you, have a nice day.
The caseworker hangs up. Microwave dings. James takes out his piece of bacon and takes a big bite. Shopping mall. Noon. James is standing in the middle of the shopping mall with a broom and dustpan, sweeping up dirt, dust, debris, and other things on the mall floor. However, his attention is averted. It's focused to the sexy and bra and panty shop straight in front of him. A mother is in the front of the store with her teenage daughter, looking at sales in the underwear section. James is sweeping closer and closer to the mother and daughter, thinking he is being discreet, and he is not taking his eyes off of them.
Okay, honey, what about these? They're 3 for $20.
No, Mom, I'm not into panties. I'm into thongs now. All my friends are.
She picks up a pair and presses them up to her body to see if they fit. James is watching very closely from about 5 feet away.
I don't want my daughter wearing something like that. It's too sexy for your age.
Mom, I'm 15. It's not like I'm a little kid. I want Michael to notice me before Sarah starts talking to him. You let them ride up through your jeans. So, you only see the straps. I'm not walking around with my ass out.
James coughs loudly and gets their attention. They both turn around and look at him simultaneously. There is a wet spot of semen on his crotch, and he has a hard-on.
Ew, Mom!
The mother grabs a hold of her daughter and shields her from James. The mother is panicked.
Honey, just don't look at him. Just look the other way. There's obviously something wrong with him. Oh my God, ew, he's so gross.
James watches them walk away to the front of the store. The mother is talking to the manager, and they point back at him.
Yes, that man over there, I don't know who he is, but he's drooling, looking at my daughter. He has a hard-on in his pants. I don't know if he works here or if he's retarded.
It's okay, ma'am. I'm gonna call security.
The manager picks up a walkie-talkie and phones security. James panics and drops his broom and dustpan and runs away off the premises.
Parking lot, convenience store, afternoon. James is walking outside up to a gas station. He has seemed to have calmed down a bit. He collects himself and enters. James walks around the convenience store, browsing and killing time. He grabs a beer, a tall boy, Pabst Blue Ribbon, and holds it up to the back of his neck to cool down. He then walks over to the female sales clerk and places his beer on the counter. The sales clerk is in her own little world, just chewing some gum.
Will there be anything else?
A pack of Pall Malls. She rings up the beer and cigarettes.
Alright, that'll be $7.44.
James reaches deep down into his pockets and pulls out a big handful of coins in various denominations. A girl walks up behind him in line, a tweaker, followed by two drunk, very pissed off rednecks. However, it is hard to tell them apart because they are both wearing black Levi jeans with white t-shirts with lots of God only knows what black grease shit smeared all over them in various places. It's safe to say these two gentlemen just got off work, somewhere dirty. James starts counting the big handful of change of coins on the counter. People behind them are losing their patience.
2, 4, $1, $50, $60, $75.
The female tweaker looks at James.
You know, my mother always told me to have my change counted out before you come into a store.
James turns around and looks back at her with a blank stare and continues going about his business. The female tweaker and the dumb rednecks look dumbfounded.
Man, what a fucking freak, said Redneck 1.
Redneck 2 joins his friend.
Look at him. He looks like he's got some loose change in the head.
The sales clerk desperately wants to speed things up here and starts helping James count out his money.
What, boy? Did you empty all that change from your piggy bank before you got here?
James turns around and looks at him.
No, I just left your mother's house and that's all she had to pay me with.
The female meth head and the redneck's buddy are trying not to laugh.
Oh shit, this boy does some trash talk.
Redneck 1 whispers to his friend,
I will kill that fat motherfucker.
Oh come on, he's funny.
James finishes counting out his change, grabs his Pall Malls and beer, and then exits the store.
Bad neighborhood. Moments later, James is walking down the street to his apartment complex. The rednecks are following him in a dirty white pickup truck. Not very incognito, as James can detect them behind him. The rednecks are sitting in their pickup truck, pretty much riding the brake behind James. Redneck 2 is somewhat apprehensive.
I don't think this is a very good idea.
Just shut the fuck up! That tub of lard insulted me, insulted us in front of female company!
Who gives a shit? The guy's a fucking retard!
So?
I, I,
I don't know what I'm doing here yet. Let's just see where he lives. Just be careful, man. I'm on probation.
James stops in the middle of the street, turns his head around back at the boys, almost like he wants them to follow him. He then proceeds to start walking to the right towards his apartment.
Aw, man, look, I see. He lives in them ghetto Section 8 apartments.
Alright, well, let's park over there by that community basketball court.
Alright, let's just do this and get it over with.
James is in his apartment now. He walks around to his foyer closet and gets out a long black trench coat. He hears tapping on his back sliding glass door. He walks into his small kitchenette and turns off the light. The rednecks are standing outside by the back of the door.
Come on, man, we should go.
Redneck One slides the door wide open.
It's open, you fucking idiot!
Both of the boys laugh, and they slowly enter James's home. Redneck One catches a whiff of something he doesn't like.
What is that fucking smell? It's like a dead animal in here.
Redneck Two starts gagging.
Oh my god, I'm gonna puke. Let's just get the fuck out of here. I don't like this.
Both of the boys start coughing when James reveals himself.
What? Holy shit, big boy. You've been waiting on us?
Redneck 2 is grossed out.
Yeah, you smell like something my granddad had brought home from hunting season a couple years back.
Hey, you know, it's called soap. It's not expensive, and judging by the look of this place, I think even you can afford it. The boys laugh at him while James is just staring them down.
Hey! He's talking to you, fat boy!
Redneck 2 punches him in the mouth hard. James is still standing. Redneck 1 kicks him in the testicles and James goes down like a ton of bricks. Both of them start kicking the hell out of James repeatedly. James yelps out a disturbing cry when the boys stop.
You hurt me. I can't move. Help me. Please. You smashed my no-no area.
He projectiles vomit all over the floor. And also, James begins shaking on the floor like a child and begins to urinate all over himself.
Oh, shit. Fat boy pissed his pants.
Redneck 2 starts laughing at him.
What a fucking retard. He's like a pinata, except he's filled with piss and vomit.
James stops shaking on the ground.
You want to get out of here now, man?
I don't know. I think this fat body might just identify us. Redneck 2 pulls out a buck folding knife.
Ah, fuck it. Might as well put him out of his misery. Just make it easier.
Redneck 1 raises up his hunting boot and gets ready to stomp his head in. James stops whimpering and pulls out the stun baton from behind his trench coat and swings it while he's lying on the ground, breaking Redneck 1's ankle. You can hear the bones shatter like glass. He starts screaming,
"Oh, what the fuck?"
Redneck 1 falls to the floor and starts screaming in agonizing pain. Redneck 2 is shocked. He's discombobulated. He pulls out his knife and gets ready to cut him.
Oh, hell no! You did not just do that to my friend!
James gets up and smacks him with the baton square in the mouth and knocks out 5 of his front teeth. He falls to the ground. His mouth is covered in blood. And he starts choking on his own teeth while crying and screaming.
No! No, please, I'm sorry!
James switches on the taser and holds it on him and starts shocking him for a good 8 to 10 seconds. He stops tasing him and he
spits out some more teeth and blood that are stuck to the side of his face. Redneck 1 starts crawling away towards the door. James sets down the taser and grabs him by the ankles, pulling him towards his living room, and lies him on his back. Redneck 1 covers his face like a child.
No, please don't! You don't have to do this, man!
James picks up the stun baton again and switches the power off. He raises it high above his head. Redneck 1 gasps.
No, man, don't do it!
James starts beating him to death so hard he smashes his face in, completely caves it in. There are pieces of teeth, blood, skull everywhere until there is nothing left except a wet spot on the ground with blood and hair. Redneck 2 is screaming out in shock.
No! You killed my cousin's husband! Please stop! No, this isn't real. This isn't happening. I'm not here right now.
James looks at him and cracks a devious smile.
You fucking monster! I'm gonna fucking kill you!
James lords over him and switches the stun baton to the on position again. The taser is dripping in blood and brains.
No. Stay away from me. Stay away from me, you fat fuck!
James electrocutes him for about 30 seconds, non-stop. His body convulses and stops. The man starts to have an uncontrollable and violent seizure. James hits him hard with one blow to the head, killing him instantly. He then drops the baton on the ground and races upstairs. The woman is still sound asleep in his bed. He looks down at the comforter over her body. The comforter is soaked in piss, shit, blood, and there are exposed organs from the prostitute. He slowly pulls it back and reveals that James has been cutting bacon-sized slices off her back every morning and has been eating her for breakfast for quite some time now, from the lower back and waist down. He pulls out a kitchen chef's knife from his nightstand and cuts another piece from her. He smells it and almost vomits. He then goes back downstairs and looks at his fresh two new kills in his living room and says,
I need to go buy a great big freezer and some new spices.